Hello, my name is Dr. Andy Evans. I'm professor of medicine at Tufts University School of Medicine and director of the lymphoma program at the Tufts Cancer Center. I'm reporting live from the 12th International Conference of Malignant Lymphoma being held in Lugano, Switzerland, here, June 2013. I've been charged with discussing the topic of elderly Hodgkin lymphoma. It's often known by in the literature by elderly Hodgkin lymphoma, more contemporarily discussed or named as Hodgkin lymphoma in older patients. Historically, that's been defined as Hodgkin lymphoma or Hodgkin's disease occurring in patients age 60 or more. And it's a topic that had been published on to a decent amount in the 1980s and 1990s. And since that time and even before, it's been fairly well documented that the outcomes in older patients with Hodgkin lymphoma are not just significantly inferior to younger age groups, but really disproportionately more than you would expect than just age as a prognostic factor, and especially when comparing it to other cancers and other lymphomas. In those studies in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, the difference or the inferior in terms of outcome was decreased by about 40 percentage points, sometimes 50 percentage points, with five-year disease-free survival rates in the 30 to mid-40 percent range. And it's one that cannot merely be explained by older age. When analyses were done at that time, as well as a recent analysis we performed, it is far inferior to controls when you match for age and sex, quite disproportionate as well to normal controls without Hodgkin lymphoma. And so an obvious question is, why is that? And there's not one right answer. There's several hypotheses. One certainly is due to the age and likely increasing comorbidities, patients are not able to tolerate therapy as well, and you're not able to maintain the quite dose intensity of chemotherapy, which we are fairly confident is important in most hematologic malignancies, including Hodgkin's lymphoma. And also, accordingly, there are increased toxicities and really increased treatment-related mortality. And that's one item that sometimes you hope it doesn't get buried under the rug, but it's in any, especially elderly Hodgkin lymphoma paper, that's one of the first things I'll look at is what was the treatment-related mortality rate. Because certainly lymphoma and Hodgkin's lymphoma and the treatments are not a cancer or a disease that we associated mortality due to treatment. But that's an important factor. And finally, some authors have suggested, is it a different disease compared to younger patients? In other words, a different biology. And there is some indirect data supporting that through those studies in before year 2000. When looking at analyses before year 2000, some of that clinical pathologic data that was shown was a higher incidence of mixed cellularity subtype Hodgkin lymphoma in older versus younger patients, where it's much more commonly nodular sclerosis, and other factors such as altered performance status, a lower incidence of bulky mediastinal disease. In most of the elderly series, it's 2 to 3, at most 5% of older patients have a bulky mediastinal presentation, which is much lower than you'd expect in a younger patient population, especially patients in their 20s and 30s, and also a higher incidence of advanced stage disease. In most of these older patients, it's anywhere from 60 to 70% of patients, older patients, presenting with advanced stage disease, where in younger patient population, it's almost in the 50-50 range, even sometimes 55-60% early stage versus advanced stage. So those are some of the background differences that has led us into the contemporary era, at least in the last 10 to 12 years, where there was a bit of a 10-year period where there was not much data, and now in the last couple years, there's been several publications from our group and others that have looked, has there been an improvement in outcome in these patients, number one, and number two, are there any prognostic factors that we can begin to identify patient populations who have better versus worse outcomes? In terms of the recent studies in the subgroup of older patients with Hodgkin's lymphoma, there was a SEER database analysis by Brenner and colleagues about 5 years ago in Blood, where they pose the question, has there been, quote-unquote, catch-up of older patients with Hodgkin's lymphoma? And the quick answer was, in looking at five-year survival curves from the 1970s to about the late 90s, 2000, there was catch-up. In other words, outcomes had improved for older patients with Hodgkin lymphoma, which was good. The other side of the coin was, if you look at that survival rate, five-year survival rate in the 1970s in SEER, was 20%, 2-0, which was somewhat low. So it did increase to a five-year survival of 40 to 45%, which is the good news. But I guess the bad news is still, when you compare it to older age groups, and not just age groups in their 20s and 30s, the comparative contemporary survival rate, five-year survival for patients in their 20s and 30s, was around 90%. Whereas even in patients 45 years and older, so actually I should say 45 to 59, so just one age group down, was still 20 to 30 percentage points higher than the age group over 60%. And again, a question about that is why. And going back to some of the treatment regimens, I think a big part of it in several of us who have been looking at this certain patient population has been the particular regimens that are used. And we obviously one of the most common regimens is ABVD. And we think of a relatively well-tolerated regimen, especially for patients in their 20s and 30s, receive treatment every 2 weeks, usually stay on time. I rarely give growth factor despite neutropenia in those patients, and they do great. I think the problem is over age 60, there is definitely a problem. And if I had to pick one of the four drugs where there is the biggest problem in older patients is the bleomycin. And it's a concern. Obviously, the salient issue is bleomycin lung toxicity. And I think it's a major issue. One, I think it's a little under-recognized. And number two, it's a severe, potentially fatal toxicity. And in prior ABVD reports, the risk in older patients is anywhere from 20 to 50%. And that's just bleomycin lung toxicity. And then if you look at patients who have bleomycin lung toxicity, the mortality rate is anywhere from 20 to 50%. And as anyone who can appreciate who's had a patient die of this, it's a pretty severe consequence, obviously, and it happens often when a patient is in remission. And so going back to what are some other contemporary studies? We were involved with two studies. One was a retrospective analysis, is when I was at Northwestern in Chicago. We had cobbled together 95 cases of older patients treated from year 2000 to 2009. And what we had aimed to do was to look at outcomes and prognostic factors, hoping, comparing to older data, there had been some improvement. We actually had found survival rates pretty similar to the Brenner. We're looking at series I had alluded to before. Five-year overall survival in the mid-40% range. So still, in my opinion, somewhat disappointing. And if you looked at, that was included some early stage. If you looked at just advanced stage patients over age 60 with Hodgkin's lymphoma in this somewhat population-based survival series, it was around 34%. So pretty disappointing. We also identified that the rate of bleomycin lung toxicity was 33%. And of those patients who developed BLT, bleomycin lung toxicity, the mortality rate was 31%, and was some of the highlights in that series. Now, what we also showed in that, interestingly, were the response rates were pretty decent. The overall response rate was in the upper 80s, and the CR rate was 75%, so which is probably a little lower than younger patients, where in younger patients you'd expect a response rate of 95%. And a CR rate close to that, 85 to 90. So it wasn't a decreased response rate, at least appeared in this retrospective series. It looked to be toxicity was a major issue. Now, in that series also, we performed a univariate and multivariate analysis. Interestingly, the International Prognostic Score, otherwise known as Hassan-Clavier and Diehl Index, has actually never been validated in older patients. In talking to Volker Diehl on that publication, interestingly, only 9% of patients in that large multi-thousand Hassan-Clavier and Diehl were over age 55. And moreover, 0 patients, 0.0, were over age 65. So it's fair to say that index, as widely used and applicable in many patients, is probably not applicable to older patients. And we were able to confirm a few in univariate, but the two factors that were strongest in multivariate were loss of activities of daily living, ADLs, and age over 70, so 60 to 70 versus 70 and above. And moreover, we performed what's called a CART analysis, where if you have 0, 1, or 2 of those factors I just alluded to, the survival got worse and worse. In fact, if you were age over 70 and had loss of ADLs at presentation, your 3-year survival was 0%. And those were these were patients that were treated with curative intent with chemotherapy. So those are the key findings there. A more recent publication I was involved with was recently published in the British Journal of Hematology, and that was a subgroup analysis off of the large North American intergroup study known as ECOG 2496. And if you recall, that was a study that over 800 patients that randomized to ABVD, standard ABVD, or Stanford 5. And as you probably know, it was published last year in the JCO by Leo Gordon, showing essentially no difference in all patients. So we went to look at, well, how many patients were over age 60? Interestingly, it was only 43 patients. And so that's another factor I should have mentioned before. The group of older patients with Hodgkin's disease is extremely underrepresented in clinical trials. When population studies are done, whether in the U.S. and Europe, older patients over 60 constitute anywhere from 15 to 30% of the Hodgkin lymphoma population, but most studies have included only typically 5%, so very underrepresented. Nevertheless, we took that 5%, those 43 patients, and analyzed them, looking at survival and toxicity amongst themselves across the two chemotherapy regimens, and also compared it to younger patients. And the high-level findings there were, one, no difference also in older, just like the large patient population, between ABVD and Stanford 5 in terms of long-term 2-year and 5-year event-free survival and overall survival. But in comparing to the younger, and I guess not surprisingly, still significantly inferior compared to patients less than 60, and still 40 percentage points lower versus the age group in terms of event-free and overall survival. So I think kind of the summary in terms of the survival of older patients is, yes, they've probably improved a little, yes, since the 1970s and 80s, but still disproportionately inferior. We also found in this, and this was obviously a prospective study, albeit a subgroup analysis, that we also looked at bleomycin lung toxicity. It was not as high as in our retrospective series, which was an all-comers, but it still was 26% incidence of bleomycin lung toxicity with a mortality rate of 21%. So still, unfortunately, a prominent side effect, number one, and number two, a potentially fatal side effect. Now, we tried to dissect, so there were 11 patients of the 43 who had bleomycin lung toxicity. We tried to dissect, were there any predictive factors? We looked at different ages. We even had baseline pulmonary function tests, DLCO. We had MUGA ejection fraction. Did a cardiac function seem to affect that? Tobacco history, comorbidities, and unfortunately, really nothing was able to predict it. In fact, five of those patients were non-smokers. DLCO did not predict. And so I guess a little frustrating that we couldn't find a factor. I should mention, of the 11 patients, 10 received ABVD. So that regimen was probably the only factor that was associated with bleomycin lung toxicity. No other big differences, maybe a slight neuropathy increase and GI toxicity in the Stanford 5 in those elderly patients. And so I guess in summary, you know, how do I treat older patients with Hodgkin's lymphoma? You know, obviously, carefully. I think I've been one, and there's been others who have questioned, do we need bleomycin at all in Hodgkin's lymphoma? George Canellis had published a letter in the JCO of a look back at CLGB trials. It's never been done. There actually are prospective trials. The UK, United Kingdom's current advanced stage randomized trial for patients with a negative PET scan after 2 cycles will drop bleomycin. So at least that'll be a randomized trial to look at that. But for most patients, certainly over age 70, and in select patients, I might include it from 60 to 70, but I'll usually just a priori not give bleomycin to those patients. I just deem it as the risks outweigh the potential benefits. And so what are two regimens that I've used off of a clinical trial is one is just AVD, in other words, ABVD without the bleomycin. And another regimen that was a small publication in 2007 was CHOP, good old-fashioned CHOP. The last author was Kolstad, K-O-L-S-T-A-D as in dog, in 2007. It's a small study. It was only 26 patients with elderly Hodgkin lymphoma, but they showed survival rates exceeding 65%. So small, but and we know CHOP is generally tolerable. So I've often vacillated between those two regimens. The other subtext there is there have been other data showing that growth factor, GCSF, whether Neulasta or Neupogen, increases the risk of bleomycin lung toxicity. And so that's never been shown prospectively, but now if you're not giving bleomycin with a little more impunity, you're able to use growth factor in those patients. And finally, I'll mention there are clinical trials that have addressed this patient population, specifically older Hodgkin lymphoma. Two recent publications, phase two trials, one regimen called PVAG, P-V as in Victor, A-G, published by the German Hodgkin Study Group, and a second from the United Kingdom, Stephen Proctor, which was called VEPEMB, V-E-P-E-M-B, and they showed decent outcomes in the 50 to 60%. So unfortunately, not home runs in either of those, looked to be okay. Still was a treatment-related mortality rate in both of those trials. And I should have mentioned, back in the ECOG 2496, there was a treatment-related mortality of 9.3% in the older patients versus 0.3% in the younger patients. So that was significantly increased. There were two bleomycin lung toxicity deaths due to ABVD, and in the Stanford 5, there was a GI bleed sepsis and a pneumonia sepsis as well in that study. But finally, there are clinical trials also incorporating novel agents. I'm happy to be part of a study that's incorporating brentuximab vedotin, or Adcetris, into patients, older patients with untreated Hodgkin's lymphoma. And we're starting, actually, it's a window study where we're starting with two doses of brentuximab vedotin and then proceeding what we consider current or standard chemotherapy, AVD, without the bleomycin, and then giving another four doses of brentuximab vedotin. And that's open at 7-8 centers across the United States, Memorial Sloan Kettering, MD Anderson, Ohio State, Stanford, and other sites as well. There also is a concurrently running single-agent brentuximab vedotin trial for patients with untreated Hodgkin's lymphoma. So hopefully that's by incorporation of novel agents that are effective yet more tolerable will really help us improve the outcomes for these patients. Thank you for your attention, and please be sure to view other highlights from the 2013 ICML meeting. Thank you.